Able to introduce Les and Sharon Fry this morning. We first met Les and Sharon in 1983 when they were coming through this area and they were talking about their ministry in Spain. And we joined them over there in 1984 for 3 months. And then we went back again in 1995. But they've been there much longer than us. And they've got almost 40 years, I think, in Spain. And they've been a faithful couple, mentors to Mona and I, and great friends of ours. And so it's a real privilege, Les and Sharon, to welcome you to Bethel Bible Chapel this morning and come and share with us.
Thank you so much. I just found out that we were mentors for Bruce and Martin, Bruce and Mona. Actually, they were probably mentors for us. When we were over there and they came over the first time, we said, oh yeah, they said they'd come back. No, they won't be back. And they were. They came back and they were with us for a number of years that were very difficult years for us. I just like to have Sharon share something. I don't know what you'd like to say, but now that she's up here.
Oh, well, this could be a long one. Well, I must tell you, for the glory of God, that there are times in my life that there were two times especially that he healed me, and one time he didn't heal me. Probably lots of times he didn't heal me, but God does heal today. And in our circles, we don't often say this, but I just want to give him the glory. Because of that, I'm here today. And I was able to be out yesterday and enjoy that winter wonderland. I'm sorry, but we enjoyed it.
It's our fault.
Yeah, and thanks for not taking it away. But I guess Les wants me to share that two times. And I like to identify myself with the lady that had 12 years of a blood issue, they call it in the Bible. And she just couldn't get healed. And I had something similar to that, not in that way, but God used he healed me by making me bleed so that the blood, the precancerous cyst that I had in the neck of my uterus just went away. Now, that's a miracle because that needs operation, precancerous things. And when I went back to the gynecologist, she just couldn't believe it. She said, well, you went away for your vacation and you came back and this is looking different. So I'll be doing this biopsy, but did you take the medication I gave you? And I said, yes, but I also did something else. And she said, well, what did you do? And I said, I asked God to heal me. Oh, didn't know what to do with that. And it was interesting. Les and I said, let's see what the doctor says. And she said, I'm going to be doing the biopsy and we'll send it away. But she called back before the week was over and she said, Mr. Fry, your wife she's perfectly fine. This is a miracle. So glory to him. The last one, it was in 1997 as we were singing for our last, well, could have been my last time. I had a blood hemorrhage. Actually, while we were singing, a brain hemorrhage, what did I say? Brain hemorrhage. And it's a long story. But as we were in the emerge, I had heard, because I was coming in and out, I had heard that there's blood in her head. And I want to make an insert here. While we are fine in our lives, learn as much as you can about him. how should I say? Because what you learn in the light when you are fine, you can hang on to when you're not fine. You know, sometimes others hang on for you too. And when I heard that there was blood in my head, the first thing I thought, well, God can heal he can stop the bleeding. So I asked Les to do that, if he would pray that God would stop the healing, the bleeding. And we believe he did it right then. Because as we went to another, a bigger hospital, that was Sunday night. Monday morning, Les was waking me up because he wanted me to meet my doctor. And before I met Dr. Wells, I couldn't see. My sight was gone. And Monday morning, I saw Dr. Wells. And I knew him when I met him again on Wednesday. And I had everything off. They were ready to send me home in 2 more days. I was in the hospital for 5 days. And it's a 3-week thing. And so to God be the glory, he answered our prayers because of the faith like we heard this morning. You don't really think of it as being faith. You just trust that God will touch you.
Thanks. I knew that we should share that. And I would take time off of my preaching time any day to share these things. The last time when we did pray for healing, because we believe that it's always right to ask God for healing, but it's never right to demand healing. He's sovereign. He does heal. He often does not heal. The last time we went over to Spain 3-4 years ago, we had no idea that Sharon would have cancer. So that was not a healing, but it was his power through those struggles, through that trying time, and the whole church learned lessons through her being in the hospital, going through chemo, going through that operation, having later to deal with a colostomy in her life. And, you know, God is so faithful. He can heal, and he did several times. He doesn't heal other times, but he is the healer, and he always is the healer. And one day we'll have new bodies. All of us will have perfect bodies, and we've been singing about that too. We'd just like to share a song that has been kind of a dear song to us over the years, and because we're getting older, it's better for us to sing something very familiar. So we'll just sing More Than Life, I Love You, Lord.
More than life, I love thee, Lord. More than this world can afford. I have given myself to thee, O Lord, I love thee more. Do you wonder why I sing? Why I've given Christ everything? He took my place on Calvary, and now to him I'll cling. More than life, I love thee, Lord. More than this world can afford. I have given myself to thee, O Lord. I love thee more. Things of earth will pass away. Start to walk with God today. He will fill you with his love. And then with me you can say, Mas que a la vida te amo, Señor, más que lo que me ofrece a mí. Yo te he dado mi vida a ti, oh Señor, te amo más, te amo más, te amo más.
Ask them to put on a 10-minute video. This tells more about our last 40 years in Spain than anything else. So we hope you'll enjoy the 10-minute video of what we learned in those 40 years in Spain.
Hi, I'm Les Fry.
I'm Sharon Fry.
We come from the Elmira, Ontario area, and we were commissioned by Wallenstein Bible Chapel to be missionaries in Spain, where we've been for the last 40 years. We'd just like to share with you a little bit of our 40-year experience in this country. We have always believed in teamwork. Teamwork is biblical. And we started as a team way back 40 years ago and 4 months to be exact. And we were in Valencia. We were very green, very inexperienced, a group of 9 young people. And we happened to be the team coordinators. And it was an international team, and it was in 73. When we came to Saragossa, then in 78, we had another team of missionaries, the Dindingers. Rick and Vicky Dindinger and Bev Boyle and us began a church plant. And that gave us a sort of a start on teamwork. We did a lot of evangelism door to door. So church planting starts with planting a seed. Church planting, of course, involves all kinds of things. Yeah, you have to do visitation, evangelism, Bible studies. You've got to be one-on-one. You've got to be public. You've got to do all kinds of different activities.
Yeah, this is where you learn to preach. You did some preaching in Canada, but you really flew here.
But we like personal work, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Our ultimate goal, of course, is to see a church that will function on its own. Quite a while ago, I saw 4 steps that are very important in this aspect of church planting. The first is, I do it while you watch me. The next step is, you help me do it. The third step is, I'll help you do it. And then the final step is, I watch you do it. I think we've come through all those steps in church planting, and we're at the final step, just watching other people do it.
Yeah, that's great. It's really being a joy to see how things have
blossomed.
That's the word.
Over the years, we've had a real burden for families, especially for married couples. And that has led us to join Family Life, which is a part of Campus for Christ, or in Canada, it's called Power to Change. And their aspect of family life is very important. And we've joined them as associates to speak at marriage conferences or giving marriage seminars or talks and counseling couples with problems. So we've been involved in radio programs, weekly radio programs, talking about all kinds of family issues. Speaking of families, we really believe that we have been a team, an inseparable team over the years. We have been best friends. We've worked together, cried together, laughed together, gone through so many different experiences. And I just want to tell everybody that I have the right wife.
Ah, thank you. Now I have the right husband.
I have a wonderful wife. And she is a good soldier. I have seen that on so many occasions. We are in this together. We've been a team for 43 years. And we still want to keep on being in love, as always. For the last 3 years, we have been trying to leave well, leave Spain well. For the last 3 years, we've been thinking of more of mentoring, whether it's been other missionaries, whether it's been other leaders, whether it's new believers, just keeping active in evangelism and discipleship. So as we leave, we can be assured that the church is in good hands. One of the most encouraging things for us is the group of elders the Lord has raised up in our local church. They are from the ages of 58 right down to Ben, who's 30, and in between there. And so we've got an average age of something like 49 years old, and it just makes for a real mix of different characters and personalities and giftedness, and we believe that it's really a tremendous base for having that unity and diversity at the same time and caring for the believers. And God is going to do wonderful things to them.
It's really important because we really feel that things are going to be popping. It just you can just feel it. There's just been such a change. What I mean is different people have come in, and we've never had a church with so many nationalities.
There are things that we have learned over these 40 years. One thing that we have learned is to be flexible.
I remember hearing that word a couple times at least in international teams. Kevin Dyer said, one of the words I want to leave with you to learn in your lives is to be flexible.
He could never have said it better. Yeah. In any foreign culture, we must learn how to be flexible. Not judging the culture, not saying that everything is strange and weird that everyone does, but just different, and accepting the culture, integrating in the culture, being willing for your children to be involved in the culture. We have grown to see as well how God works in our lives and the lives of people, and many times it is not like we think. He surprises us.
To think that I have talked to women in coffee hours, and I'm not afraid to get up and speak in public. That was something I never would have thought would ever happen.
One of the most important things in our life has always been a baptism. It's just so exciting to see people following the Lord in this step. And to our surprise, just the last Sunday before we leave, there's going to be another baptism. Over the years, technology has just blossomed, and we really believe that videos that Ben is teaching them to do, music and this kind of technical age, is so important for young people to be involved with each other and at a level that they enjoy, they understand. We're just so thankful that Ben and Elena are in that age group. We would like you to keep in mind some prayer requests for Spain. Spain's 47 million people are still in desperate need of the gospel. Pray for the 7 church leaders. They need to be unified. Pray for them as they plan and as they think about another building, that the Lord will supply the right one at the right time and the funds will be there for it. Pray for Ben and Elena. They have a wonderful ministry among the young people, and we just ask you to pray that they would be able to keep that on, and as the Lord opens new doors, that they would be able to have the support they need and the prayer support. We ask you to pray too for that campaign next August in 2014. To pray for the young people to be involved in evangelism, and the whole church would be behind it. We ask you to pray too for our refocusing in the Elmira, Ontario area. We don't know what the Lord has for us. We believe He wants us to keep on in the giftedness that He has given us and in our area of ministering to couples, families, and whatever He would open up for us. We do have the added aspect of being able to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
So we believe that He wants us to be in contact with Hispanics as well. Above all things, we want to thank you for your prayer support, your financial support, how faithful you've been, all of you who have prayed and given. All of us have been a team here. We believe firmly that you have joined with us over these years, and that's why there has been something done for God and for eternity. Thank you very much.
heard mentioned Ben and Elena. They're on the back of your bulletin, by the way. That's our daughter, Elena, and her husband, Ben. So you can be praying for them and their youth ministry, as was mentioned. I'd just like to share in the last 20 minutes before the most important part of this service, the baptism, I'd just like to share a challenge from John chapter 21. And I've learned over the years that you can preach a gospel message in 3 to 5 minutes. You can preach what's essential in 15 minutes. So don't worry, I'm not going to go over time. John 21, one of the challenging things that occurred in the disciples' lives was failure and restoration. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Has anybody here been a failure at one time in their life? Has anyone been restored by the Lord, who time and again comes to us? I see hands raised. I see smiles on your faces. You're going to identify with Peter on the shores of Galilee. And that's where Jesus told him to stop fishing for fish that stink and start fishing for men and women that sometimes stink as well. And we all know what we're talking about. Fish stink, but you know, there's a miracle that transforms us from fish into sheep. And I want to speak to you this morning about a challenge from John 21. I'll just read a few verses here. They were on the shores of Galilee where Jesus had told Peter to go fishing for men. And he had to be there again 3 years later after he was raised from the dead and restore the Peter who had denied him. He had denied him 3 times, as you know. He had said boastfully, unthinkingly, as sometimes we do, "Lord, even if everyone else abandons you, not me." And here for 3 times, the Lord says, "Peter, do you love me?" Let's read it together. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, this was the breakfast that Jesus had prepared, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" More than these. "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I am your friend." That's what it really says. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, are you truly my friend?" Is what he said the third time. And the second time, he still said, "Do you love me?" With an agape love. So if he goes from, "Do you love me with agape love, that love which is unconditional, which is always there for you? Do you love me with that kind of love more than the others?" That's what he had said before he denied the Lord. Now he brings it down. "Do you love me?" And the third time, he says, "Simon, son of John," verse 17, are you my friend? Is that the kind of love you have? Because Peter would answer him constantly those 3 times, "I'm your friend." This is what the true reading would be. And Peter was hurt, it says, because Jesus asked him the third time, "Are you my friend?" He went from, "Do you love me more than these? Do you really love me with the love of God that is in 1 Corinthians 13, if you wonder what the love of God is like. It's a faithful love. And the third time he brought it down to what Peter was answering. "Are you really my friend?" And Peter didn't have anything to say. He just said, "You know all things. You know I'm your friend." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Take heart, seniors. That's what's going to happen. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." The same thing he had said to him 3 years before. "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." Well, if we really love the Lord Jesus this morning, because we sang that at the last of our first meeting, "Lord Jesus, I love you." And we sing it over and over. When's the last time you actually said that to the Lord driving down the road? It just occurred to you to say, Lord, I love you. We need to be spontaneous, not just when we sing it, not in a worship meeting, but any time is a good time to tell the Lord we love him. But if we love him, we will do three things out of this chapter. We will fish, we will feed, and we will follow. Those are good F words. Fish, feed, and follow. We will fish, first of all. Fishing is a priority. And I don't mean pickerel and pike and perch. Here are words that start with P, and they're not pickerel, pike, and perch. And I want you to remember that fishing for souls is your priority. If I said, how many here have the gift of evangelism? Put your hands up. Is that true, that nobody here has the gift of evangelism? I know it's not true, because probably 10% of you do, and you may not want to say it. Now, if I said, how many are interested in evangelism? All the hands should go up. How many of you have evangelism as your priority? It doesn't matter what giftedness the Lord has given you. It doesn't matter what is your spiritual gift. We all must have that as a priority. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a priority, the P of priority. Then there's the P of perseverance. How many have gone fishing? If you ever fished in Spain, you'd need perseverance. I mean, like fishing for trout. They're so smart that you've got to have the right color of a fly to attract them. You've got to pay because there's a quota for this, and the, you know, fishing in the trout streams of northern Spain. And I'd rather fish here any day because there are fish and they bite. And you can just put a worm in the French River and up come the fish. I have a brother-in-law, and when you go fishing on his fishing boat, you fish, whether you're a fisherman or not. Well, I tell you, whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, you fish. In season, out of season, when the time seems wrong, when it's right, when someone's dying, you lead them to the Lord. I heard of a man, 103, who accepted the Lord. It's just, I know who he is. And he was so stubborn. Don't you follow his example. You might not get to 103. And at 103, he entered the kingdom of God. That's the right time. But it's the right time with a child. And so many are in Sunday school teaching the children. It's the right time anytime. The priority, perseverance, it pays off, and there's a prize. There's a crown for winning souls. And the best thing I know is knowing that somebody's going to be in heaven because we prayed, we gave, we were a team together, we worked on it together. It's not one person leading them all to the Lord, as we say. It's everyone being in it together. So it's public and it's private. We need to persevere, and there is a prize. Now, the second point, he told Peter to feed the lambs, feed the sheep. If we really love the Lord, we will love one another. And he says, feed my sheep. They're his sheep. And we're not to beat the sheep. We're not to fleece the sheep. We're to feed the sheep and protect and care for the sheep. Here are some words that begin with C. The first is care. Tender, loving care, TLC. I don't know anyone who rejects TLC. What we reject is somebody who's religious. Jesus rejected them too. We're on his side when we reject religion. We want a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And he says, feed my sheep. We need to protect, care for, and feed the sheep. The flock of God. As I said, the fish turn into sheep. And sometimes sheep are hard to care for. But you got to be careful with them. You need compassion. There's a sea of compassion. We have to feel with people. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. There's another sea, comfort. Did you know that the word comfort and comforter and consolation, all those are used to describe a biblical word, the comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And he gives a spiritual gift, which is very like that in the Greek, and it's called encouragement or exhortation. Now, we should all exhort one another and encourage one another. I don't know any congregation of Christians that could get along without people who have the gift of encouragement. They write you a note or they say something to you. If I didn't have my wife as my fan club, I don't know what I would have done in life. She's an encourager. She gets alongside and encourages. So it's so important. So comforting, caring, compassion, and the fourth C is communication. How we need communication in marriages. 80% of marriages break up for a bad communication or a lack of proper communication. And if I had time this morning, I'd talk about our brain, you know, our left side and our right side of our brain, and how the women are great communicators, and they can go from left to right all the time, and it's zzz, zzz. And we men are so focused, we go across, and then we cross over here, and we're there for a time, then we go there. We're just, I guess, we just have a problem, don't we? But women are better communicators. And they're always asking their men to please sit down and listen to them. They don't want solutions, they want you to listen. I'm going to stop our marriage counseling now. We could go on for a long time on that one. Fish, feed, and thirdly, follow. And this goes for those two lovely women who are going to get baptized today. You will follow the Lord faithfully all the rest of your life. And when someone gets baptized, the rest of us who were baptized, I was baptized in the river down in Waterloo County. They did that before they had baptistries. I'm not that old, but, you know, we did prefer the river sometimes. I remember that so distinctly. Don't you remember the day of your baptism? Of course you do. And God designed it that way. That was so graphic and so powerful in your life that when you were baptized, you were out to conquer the world. You were out to follow the Lord all the rest of your life, and you loved him and you want to serve him and follow him. Well, Jesus says to Peter the same words as before, the same message, the same commission. Follow me. Don't follow people. And right away, Peter turns around to John and says, what about him? It's a real bad thing when we want to follow people. And we want people to follow us. We want them to follow the great shepherd, the true shepherd, the real good shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the sheep. And we want more and more people following him. So I'll give you four words about following. We want to be faithful. And the Lord has promised a crown of righteousness to all of us who will be faithful. Paul said, I want to finish my course. I kept the faith, he said. And therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that occasion, on that day, and not just to me. These crowns are up for everybody. He said, to all those who love his appearing, do you want Jesus to come back? Yes. Do you want him to come today? Yes. Some young people say, no, I'd rather get married first. I'd rather do this first. I'd rather get my career. And some of you say, well, I really would like to get this settled and that settled. If Jesus came today, hallelujah. Yes, he can come today. If he wants, if he chooses, if the Father says go, he will come. And the last words of the Bible are, come, come, Lord Jesus. So we desire, we eagerly long for that appearing, for his coming again. So we want to be faithful. Then another word that begins with F is firm. We need to be firm in the faith. Another one is fervent. We need people who are passionate about the Lord. Like those on the road to Emmaus. They said, our hearts burned within us as he expounded the scripture. Doesn't your heart burn when you hear about people following the Lord and being saved? I tell you, these ladies, their testimony today is going to just make us vibrate. It's a great thing to have people follow the Lord. there's another word, F, that's focus. And that's why we say, Peter, get your eyes off John and get them on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to get our eyes off of people, off of circumstances, and on Him. Sometimes we think, oh, it's getting so bad around us. The world is just going from bad to worse. I'll give you a bit of insight in the future. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We sang in the songs, I'll fly away. We just like to fly away now. You know, it's going to get worse. But that means that our witness is going to be brighter. Because when it's darkest, the light shines more. So let's not complain about how bad it is and how things are going from bad to worse. They will get worse. And we are the light of the world in the midst of all that darkness. As one of my favorite black preachers says, the problem isn't the people out there that are sinning. The problem is the saints who aren't supposed to sin. And they sin more than the people who are supposed to sin. The sinners are out there to sin, and they do a good job. You probably know I'm talking about Dr. Tony Evans. He has a huge church in Dallas. I love to hear that. It just seems to make sense, doesn't it? The problem isn't the sinners out there. The problem, we're the problem. If we're the light we should be, then there's no problem at all. So, tying it up, Jesus restored Peter on the shore of Galilee, and he gave him the same instructions. Fish, feed, and follow. If we can remember that as we go from here, we don't need to know a whole lot. We just need to be the right people. We need a relationship with the Lord. We need to just be honest with him. You know, I really do love you. I really do. And I want to do your will. Well, then fish, feed, and follow. May God bless us as we together watch a baptism, which is just going to be a great testimony of how the Lord changes lives and he has his followers. Thank you.
The heart of a missionary is to lead others to the Lord and to see them baptized. And I said, this is a perfect match. And so we're thankful. Thank you, Les and Sharon, for speaking to us this morning. And one thing I have learned this year, and I think we can summarize it in about six words, and it goes like this. Few things in life are of utmost importance. And when we were over in Zambia in January, we heard of a discussion between a North American and a Zambian. And the Zambian said, I hear you people over in North America live in great big houses. Big houses. He says, I hear you even have houses for your cars. But as Andrew was reminding us last Sunday, that when it comes down to the end and the bottom line, we're left with a house with old furniture and a garage that's full of junk. And that's not what's important. It's not the house and the cars and the garage. That's not important. There are some things that are of utmost importance, and it's our faith, and it's our trust, and it's our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here this morning for, isn't it? And this is of utmost importance. And a baptism is another expression of what has happened in a person's life, it's of utmost importance. And it's not a religious experience, as Les has been sharing with us. It's not a religious experience, but it's a relationship experience. And these two ladies that are to be baptized today have experienced a new relationship. It's good to know that the Bible is still the best news to mankind. I heard somebody say recently that if a book was more, a science book, a math book or a science book, was more than 100 years old, people wouldn't take it really too seriously. It's an old book. And yet this book is thousands of years old. And I believe, and many believe here, it's still the best news. And it's still a relevant book, and it still makes a difference, even in what we call our modern culture today. How sinful man can be reconciled to a holy God, to have the blessing of peace with God, to know that we have salvation, to know that we have a heavenly home. And we're going to see some living examples today, going through the waters of baptism, of God's redeeming love. Baptism is, very briefly, means in the original word to plunge or to wash, and the individual today will go down into the water and be immersed in the water. It is symbolic of death, burial, and resurrection. History, it was instituted by the Lord in the Gospels, Matthew 28 and verse 19, the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," Matthew 28. It was practiced by early believers in the Acts 2. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. If they were all baptized that day, that was a big baptism. We're thankful for those who are baptized today. It's explained in the epistles, Romans 6. It talks about baptism, as I've mentioned, as a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. As we, as an individual, identifies with the death of Christ on the cross for their sins and his burial. And thank goodness, as we've been sharing today, and as is noted on the banners before us, to remind us that he was resurrected from the grave. He is not dead. We don't serve and worship a dead Savior, but a risen one. He is victorious. We believe our salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. This is not regenerational baptism that we practice, but a step of obedience and demonstrates the reality of one's faith in Jesus. Baptism is the celebration of a transaction that has already occurred. It is a celebration, and there's good reason to celebrate. Baptism looks forward to a life of faith, newness of life in Christ, reckoning that the old man, the old nature in me is dead, and the new man is alive, living a baptized life. In your bulletin this morning, it says, on the back page, baptism points back to the will of God and forward to the life of faith. We're going to sing a verse of a hymn, and I made this change this morning because I really enjoyed, at the first service we sang Victory in Jesus, and Daniel Black gave it out, and we stood to sing it. I think we'll remain seated this time if you can sing seated victoriously. It is a victorious song about an old story and about his healing and cleansing power. And then it speaks of a mansion is built for me in glory. So we would like to sing the first verse before the first candidate is baptized. And then we'll sing the second verse between the two candidates. And then we'll finish off with the third verse. So let's sing Victory in Jesus.
Bye.
saying earlier that baptism is a great encouragement to others, and this wouldn't be a baptism without all of you people out here. It's an opportunity. But we are encouraged as we see one who has trusted the Lord and is wanting to walk for him and demonstrate her desire in this way. This is Julie Nikki.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I heard someone the other day say that if you were to ask a person to tell you the greatest thing that has ever happened in their life, would you expect them to say no? It's a great opportunity. And Julie's going to share with us today the great thing that has happened in your life.
Okay. So I hope everyone can hear me. Can you hear me, everybody? I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't speaking too softly. So I'm only allotted three to 5 minutes, so here goes. Have you ever heard the expression, if only I could trade this life in for a new one? Well, I was ready for a new one. just something new I was ready for, meaning I just knew deep down there had to be something more to life than what I've been living for. Why am I here for? And nothing was working, it seemed. One day I found myself then on my knees talking to the Lord in frustration and tears. And after some time went by, I had heard about a book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. What on earth am I here for? So I bought it. And the book, it starts off, it says, don't you think it would be wise use of time to set aside 4 day days to figure out what God wants you to do with the rest of them? Well, I responded with yes. And there are certain spots in the book where you could sign your signature. Well, I signed in a couple places. I was more than ready. And the first line in the book really spoke to me. And it said, it's not about you. And as soon as I read that, I was thinking, well, wow, if it's not about me, then who's it about? You know? And so after that, I continued to read after that first line, and it said, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your own peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. Well, now my old self was thinking, well, that's an interesting way to start a book, right? It's not about you, and it's not about your career, and it's not about your wildest dreams or anything like that. And I come to the next line, and it's a scripture. It's Isaiah 44, chapter 44, verse 2. It says, I am your creator, and you were in my care before you were even born. And I continue to read and come to the words, you're not an accident. So by now I'm crying, right? In conclusion, reading the book, it took 40 days with the book, and it got me started on the path to understanding the much bigger picture. And I know that I don't have a time and a day that I was saved by the grace of God. But one thing I know is that I belong to him, and I have a real love and hunger for the Word of God. And I want to finish with this last scripture. Just give me a moment. I'm just trying to collect my emotions. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of our overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Thank you.
Okay, Julie. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon your confession of faith in Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say that, and this is Anne-Marie Jeffs. I was going to say that Anne-Marie's been through some deep waters in the last number of years, and she has. And we've gotten to know Anne-Marie through the small group, and she's also worked at Vincent's Place and helped the hungry and the needy. And the first time she came to Bethel, Kathy was telling me that she brought Anne-Marie right up to the front pew and sat down. Anne-Marie wasn't sure what was happening. But, Anne-Marie said that people were so friendly here at Bethel. They were so friendly here at Bethel that she thought she was going to pass out with all the welcomes that she got. But, Kathy said that when Anne-Marie accepted the Lord as her Savior, that she says, you know, that makes us sisters now. She said, that's a scary thought. Sisters in the Lord. It's a good thought. It's a good thing. And anyway, Anne-Marie, will you share with us what the Lord has done in your life?
Hello, I'm Anne-Marie Jeffs. I joined Bethel in January 2013. After my husband passed away from cancer, I was looking for some guidance and direction to cope with the immense pain and loss I was feeling. I have two teenage children, Brent and Kendra. Brent had been coming to Bethel Youth Group and said that everyone at Bethel was really nice, so we decided to give it a try. Like Peter was saying, I remember my first Sunday. I was so broken and worn out from the pain that I felt dizzy, but I was greeted by many friendly faces, and it was overwhelming. I was introduced to Kathy Norris, and she introduced me to Nancy Cartwright. Every Sunday to follow, I sat in between these two ladies, when I would break down and cry. I could feel their care and support. I met Shelley and Steve Slauson, and they continually poured their love and happiness on me. Eventually, times got easier. I joined small group Bible study at the Blacks' home, and I found great comfort in the group. Every week, I looked forward to meeting and talking with the group. They took the time to answer my questions. This is where I learned most about what it meant to become a Christian. And for months, I spoke to God and felt like I was a Christian, but still needed to be certain. One day I was having an open conversation with Graham Clark about being a Christian. He answered a few of my final questions, and it was then that I realized I was truly a Christian. My children have stood by me and supported me through my journey, as well as Eric Bowen and many other members of the congregation. And for this, I'm eternally grateful and want to thank you. I feel God's presence in my life every day, and I look forward to strengthening and growing my faith.
Thanks, Anne-Marie, for sharing that with us. In our small group one night, Anne-Marie said, and Anne-Marie is a student at Sioux College in the social program, she said, "I knew something had changed in my life when I started to defend Christianity before my school professors and class." Now, that's a testimony, and that's a witness, and thankful for Anne-Marie's faith in the Lord and to her salvation. Anne-Marie, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon your confession of faith in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Pray together. Father, what a glorious time this has been to be able to gather here together to, first of all, to remember the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus, and to sing praises to him, and then to be gathered here again to sing more praises of songs to you, Lord, and then to hear the Word of God. And Lord, we really do want to be your close friend, and we want to follow you, and we pray for help to do that. Pray especially for Julie and Anne-Marie, and I pray, God, that you would go before them. I pray that you would provide for them the people in their lives that they need to grow and in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray as a result of this baptism today that there would be more who would desire to follow you in baptism, and that you would use Anne-Marie and Julie to witness to their friends and bring more people to yourself. Lord, thank you for this day. It's been a glorious, wonderful time together. I pray that you would bless each one who has come here today richly, their families, their acquaintances, their relationships. God, we pray your blessing, and thank you now for Jesus, who has given us the victory. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.